doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Track with Hinch and Rossi.
Hey, Tim, why don't you start it off today?
Please, Tim, do something.
Why would I start it off?
Because
I just got out of bed. That's why
it's funny. We're making you do it.
I so don't want to do this right now.
It's usually a great start. I'm excited, guys. I mean, Alex, for the last season or so, you had a better weekend than most.
Did I show you that, Alex?
Doesn't mean I'm excited. Why is it not even?
Because there's a light fixture in the middle.
All right. So not only has James.
Love it. Mm. I mean, it's very cool, but like, can you move Andretti to the left?
Let's go over what we just saw here.
So I can.
James has stolen that.
Okay. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
So James, did you steal those? James has road signs for Daly, Andretti, and Rossi in his basement.
Are they all the same
year?
Regardless of.
Oh, no, they're different lengths. They're different
lengths.
That
makes it really hard.
Yeah. So they come in, from my best estimation.
Can you pan to it again?
Yeah. They come in like in 1 foot increments. So like yours and Connor's are both 4 feet. Marco's is 5 feet. Mine, I didn't measure mine, but mine's.
Do you have another
gotta be 5 feet
short name person?
Not yet. I'm gonna try to collect others. I want one of Hunter Ray's, but obviously that doesn't count. Maybe like Dixon. I could put Dixon there and then put Marco like up here, or Marco maybe beside mine and Hunter Ray up there or something.
Yeah.
And then there's the other side of the beam I'm gonna try to fill up as well. So if any IndyCar drivers are listening, and I know you're not,
maybe Scott.
Donate one of your street signs to the Hinchtown bar in my basement.
So how does this, I guess,
very cool idea, I must say, to have them. Yeah.
No.
It's really cool, but I guess people just don't care after their first one.
Yeah. No, basically, what are you going to do with multiple street signs with your name on it?
The same street sign.
Right. So like every year, it's a very cool program. Every year, the city of Indianapolis makes street signs of the names of all the drivers in the Indy 500. And they put them up all over downtown and around Speedway. And it's awesome. And at the end of the month, you get to keep your street sign. And so the first one's really cool because we've never had our names on a street sign before. And then by the second one, it's like, well, what do I do with the second street sign with my name on it?
And then by the
third and fourth.
Like,
and
I don't even want it.
Right. So you donate them or you know, whatever. And so I figured a bunch of my buddies would have extra ones sitting around in their basements or in their garages. And I asked for them to be donated. And yeah, I've got an Andretti one. I've got a Daly one. I've got a Rossi one. And I'm currently looking for others to help fill up the rest of the bar. So yes, if you have a street sign, I want it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good idea. My bar is not big enough to have that many street signs.
Well your bar's got like the low ceilings.
I was just thinking, man, I could probably like get a couple of these from people. And then I thought, what would I do with those?
They're very large. Like you don't appreciate the size of street signs when they're up on a pole 20 feet in the air. When they're in your hands, they're quite big.
I have a gasoline alley sign above one of my bookcases. And that was like, it looked tiny in the store when I bought it, and then I got it in my apartment. It was like, oh, this is actually quite large.
Like, yeah, but you have an apartment that can be powered by a backpack.
That's true. So. That's true as well.
Which you now have, courtesy of Darren Jameson of Capstone Green Energy. Have you fired up your backpack yet?
I have not. So I have it ready for camping and everything. I got back from Nashville. I immediately went to Atlanta. I like just got back and settled at home. So I've not tried it out yet.
Doesn't it need to like sit in the sun?
I mean, yeah, that's a solar panel, but like,
can you charge it?
It doesn't have a battery. Like, so you just, it sits in the sun and immediately charges whatever it's plugged into.
So it won't work at night.
No, correct. Most solar panels don't work at night.
No, stop. Not true. Most solar panels actually collect the energy during the day, and then they use it to power it at night.
The solar panels themselves don't collect the energy. The energy comes in through the solar panel and then goes into batteries.
Yeah, Tim, I know how it works, but you're saying most solar things don't work at night.
No, that's not true. I said most solar panels.
Oh my God, you guys are the worst.
All right.
You both know what you each mean. Just shut up. It doesn't work at
night
because it doesn't have a battery.
Is he wrong? I want to call Alex wrong on something, okay? He messed
up on this. You're both right. You're fighting over wording. Anyway.
Tim, idiot.
I was right too.
Yeah, you were less right.
You know what? You know what? You're both wrong. Let's just go with that. Everybody's wrong except me because I didn't compete in this.
James is going to pull this car over.
I'm going to turn this car right around.
Okay, so you have streets. Well, okay. They also released street signs for this weekend, which was a lot of street signs because it was IndyCar drivers as well as Xfinity drivers as well as Cup drivers, I feel like. Right? It was all three. All three series.
That means like every street in Indianapolis was named after a driver then.
Correct. But that leads us into last weekend, which was the first time the fans got to see all three series competing on the same weekend, same track. Because last year when we did it, it was kind of behind closed doors. Not kind of behind. It was behind closed doors.
And last year, the Cup guys ran on the oval still.
True.
So IndyCar and Xfinity ran on the road course. Cup ran on the oval. Same track, same weekend, all three series. And like, that's awesome. I thought last year it was so cool that we did that. And obviously, you know, last year forced everybody to get creative and do things you might not have done in a normal year, but I love that we carried it on and it's still a thing that, that all the series agreed to do, gives the fans more bang for their buck, more racing on a random weekend in August. I think it's awesome. I know the NASCAR drivers weren't thrilled about losing the oval.
Yeah. They're a persnickety bunch, aren't they?
Well, I get it. Right, like, what if all of a sudden the Indy 500 now was run on the road course instead, and
but
we used to do 500 miles around that?
Because let's be honest, the Brickyard was never like it was a flagship event because of the facility. It wasn't a flagship event because of the actual event.
Yeah, it always felt
right,
like a pretty boring race.
Right, but the facility is the oval, right? Like the road course has only been around since 05 or whatever, 02, whatever it was. No, I guess it was earlier than that.
It was F1 until 02, right? Or
what
year did F1
not
race there?
It was 07?
08?
Well, did you just spring a leak? What was that?
Lewis won there, so that they ran to at least 07.
Okay.
But anyway, all the NASCAR drivers' point was, you know, what made that race special for them and what made it one of their hallmark races, even though it might not have been the most exciting, was the fact that it was on the oval where Ray Haroon ran the first, you know, Indy 500 and where AJ Foyt won his four, where Mario Andretti ran. And now you're on the road course where literally none of those people have driven. So I get what they're saying, but I do think you have to accept we're an entertainment product at the end of the day. And that race was much more entertaining than any of the Brickyard 400s I've seen. So with the inability to find the right formula for that particular track with those cars to make it a really great race, they've made it now a really great race on the road course.
Well, let's recap your guys' race first, because there's a lot I think we can talk about on the Cup race. But I'm going to go over. I mean, Alex, for the last season or two is pretty solid in for you. Okay,
thanks.
That's enough from Alex. No, yeah, I mean, yeah, like, no. you were up near the front. There was no, like, big out of your control. Oh, yeah.
Yes, there was no catastrophic event that happened. You're right. It was good. It was a good race. I'll be honest with you guys. I mean, I'm really sick and tired of driving around that racetrack. Like, we've done it now 5 times in the past 12 months.
Like, calendar year. Yeah.
And it's...
And it's not a particularly strong track for us. And so it's been...
It's just getting monotonous. Like, I would love to change a layout maybe once.
Dude.
I would love to do something slightly different. Like, it's just everyone you saw in qualifying, everyone has got the setup figured out. Everyone, I mean, 6 cars qualified on the same exact lap time. Everyone knows what the tire strategy needs to be. Everyone knows how to get around. Like, it's just not interesting. It's really a not enjoyable race, I'll be honest.
I was going to suggest we do it on iRacing later today, but I'm going to put you down as a maybe.
iRacing doesn't even have the right layout of that track. But that's not the point. So we talked about this afterwards. I think what would be super awesome and would make the race way more, because so part of what Alex alludes to here is the fact that everyone's so close, passing is almost impossible. It's a track that has nice big long straightaways, but when everybody's running within the same 10th of a second, you know, each group of cars kind of down the field and their respective 10th, it's really hard to pass and make moves. And the distance of the race meant that it was a pretty standard 3-stopper. There was really no chance to roll the dice on a 2. So there wasn't even different fuel strategies in play. The tired strategy was pretty straightforward. The guys that didn't start on blacks, they went backwards. Like, Pato obviously was on pole and had to start on reds, or at least thought he did. Will took the risk in second place of starting on blacks. Obviously it worked out for Will. He won. Didn't work out as well for Pato. I think they did a good job in damage control starting the way they did, but the fact of the matter is the there's not enough variation there, and the track's just not quite laid out perfectly for great racing. Now, if we came out at turn 10 and came up onto the short chute between oval 1 and 2, and rather than took a hard right into turn 12, 13, 14, we just continued on like the original F1 track did, bombed backwards through oval turn 1, down that front straightaway, you would have the longest full throttle stretch on the calendar. You would have a terminal velocity of over probably 200 miles an hour on your own.
And you would have different trim levels. Like, people would choose different downforce levels.
Different trim levels. You make the brake zone into turn 1 that much longer. I think that would make the, because that straightaway would be so big. It would be almost impossible to not have passes every lap into turn 1. And I think that would just be awesome.
Is that something you guys can lobby for? I mean, it does feel like,
I think
perceptive.
I think if we're going to do, you know, the Indy GP in May and then the Harvest or whatever the second one is, I think we should do different layouts. So we'll do the traditional one in May maybe, and then do the shortened one for the August race. I think that would be tremendous.
That, or at least, I mean, I figured we would have taken the kind of key from last year and having all 3 races be different lengths.
Right.
Take the one that was exciting. Like, I don't understand how we ended up back on an 85 lap race.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't know.
So, and then I guess coming from Nashville, where literally nobody has ever been before, to then going somewhere you said 5 times in a calendar year. I mean, would this be the same if you raced St. Pete 5 times in a year, or if you'd done Road America? So this is not something inherent in the track, just the nature of the repetition.
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
It gives everybody essentially 5 weekends worth of testing to kind of figure it out. Got so it. Like, every time, you know, you go back, everybody's going to be that little bit closer together. I think it would happen at a lot of tracks.
Like, it's weird. Like, I mean, you know, we seem to be pretty good for us there, and we were 2/10 off in qualifying, and we're 10th. Like, I've never been 2/10 off before and, like, been out of the top 5. Like, usually you're 2/10 off, you're like 3rd, 4th, you're like, nah, we missed it a little bit, but, like, hey, it's still a good starting spot. 10th.
Speaking of qualifying, and it's a very good point. It is insane that it's that close. It's awesome, but it's also insane.
Yeah.
But speaking of qualifying, this weekend we went to a format that we'd used previously at Detroit during the doubleheader for a time-saving situation, lots of things on track, et cetera, et cetera. I kind of get it. I didn't think we needed that this weekend, and I don't prefer it. So we only had essentially two rounds of qualifying. You have Q1 where the field split into two groups, and then the top six from each group go on to Q2, but then that was essentially the shootout for pole. So we just kind of eliminated the Firestone Fast Six. And I didn't dig it. I didn't like it. I didn't think that was the way to do it. I think having the Fast Six makes the racing better, because if you make it to the Fast Six and it's a red tire race, you know, you've got to be thinking about, hey, do I want to do another run on another set of reds? Do I want to do maybe a set of sticker blacks and put myself in better position for the race? Maybe not start up as high. There's some strategy there, and it almost kind of penalizes the guys that get in the Fast Six in a little way, but it makes the race better because it mixes it up and it makes qualifying more exciting. So I think we need to not do that anymore.
I completely understand why we do it for Detroit.
Yes.
You know, doubleheader weekend.
Doubleheader weekend. Sense. Lots of things on track. Twice.
Yes.
Yeah.
0 point to do it
anywhere else.
So yes, why was it? Was it just to shake things up? Was it because the schedule was too busy with all the other series, or just?
What I heard was that it had something to do with the length of the old qualifying format. Cause the way it checks out, it comes in at 1 hour and 5 minutes, which obviously is a little bit awkward from like a TV window standpoint. But the thing about it is the way that format works, you have in Q1, you've got Group 1 and Group 2. Right. And each get 10 minutes on track, and there's 5 minutes in between the checkered flag of Group 1 and then the green flag of Group 2. There's nothing that stops us from, as soon as the last car is off track from Group 1, having Group 2 just go. I don't think there might be something with the timing system that needs a second to like recalibrate, but I bet it could be done in 60 seconds if we pushed it. So right there, you've taken 4 minutes off the total time.
And arguably, that would look really cool on the broadcast. Like cars come in, cars go right out.
Right. And it just doesn't have that extra 5 minutes of dead time with nothing on track. You need a little bit of a break between the end of Q1 and Q2. So, you know, you make sure you know who's transferring, whatever, whatever. But you could even make Q3 shorter, because I think they make it 6 minutes, which still gives you time for kind of two runs. You could make it 4 minutes, and then there's only kind of time for one run of two, maybe three laps kind of thing, and just sort of make it a little bit more of a shootout. There are ways you could tweak it.
Or you could shorten both rounds.
Yeah, it's almost eliminate banker laps. Yeah.
I think that's a waste of time.
Well, the only reason I like bankers is it gets the brakes warm and it gets the car warm, and cold brakes sucks if it's like first lap on reds, you know? But that's an us problem, right?
Yeah. I'd make it more dramatic.
Hey, fans, write to us on Twitter at AskOffTrack and let us know if you preferred this weekend's qualifying format or you like the 3-round qualifying format. Because if you guys like it better, we got to find a way to make it work. And I think we can do that as a group.
And if you prefer the 2-round qualifying format, then don't mention.
Yeah, just, you know, get off Twitter for a bit. Take the day off. Go spend some time with family. Go to a park. Live your life.
Get outside.
Get the outdoors. Yeah, man, get some fresh air.
I can't stress it enough, though. If you agree with the guys, don't live your life. Don't go outdoors. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Glue to your phone. Yeah. Repeatedly tweeting. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The sun is dangerous.
Yeah. It gets harmful, UV rays, if you know, careful.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own.
LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, so then qualifying was different. Hopefully they switch back to before. How was the race for both of you guys? I mean, Alex, we talked about it a bit. You kept your nose clean. James, how was yours?
I did the same, just much further back. We struggled with pace all weekend, and again, it's hard to move up, just nature of the event and the track and whatever. So you're kind of plus or minus a few spots of where you start, and that's sort of the day. Wasn't a particularly eventful day for us.
I have something occurred on the interwebs.
Oh, okay.
The other day. And I think Tim probably saw it.
Okay.
But so last week we had the Nashville podcast, right?
Yeah.
I heard about it.
I don't remember necessarily.
Yeah, Tim doesn't remember it.
I don't remember going off on a rant about anything in particular about Nashville. Like,
I don't think so.
No. You didn't go on a rant. You mentioned that there were some things you didn't like how expensive the paddock pass
in terms of the actual like race result. I don't even think I touched on it much at all.
No, not really.
So I got a comment on Instagram from someone, and it said, great drive, but watch out. Soon you'll be branded as negative Rossi. If you don't grow up and be more positive, your performance in the post Nashville pod was worse than the race itself. We like when you are not crying or blaming others. Learn from Hinch. My response was, lol, you must be new here.
I've always been negative Rossi.
Yeah, you've been branded negative Rossi from the start.
Right. And I feel like that's part of my appeal at this point. So,
I wouldn't say appeal, but it's something we all live with.
Identity. Yeah, it's been part of your. Yeah. If anything, I feel like this podcast has shown people that occasionally you're in a good mood.
Right.
Very, very occasionally.
Very occasionally. But otherwise, you wouldn't have known.
But I'm just like, man, you clearly don't pay that much attention because this has been going on for now 6 years. Anyways, I thought that was funny.
That is funny. That's a good one.
That made me chuckle.
I
want to re-listen now and see if you said. I thought we had a good post-race one.
We did. I didn't talk about the race really at all.
You were having a great race until something out of your control kind of took you out of it. So
I mean, yeah. But anyways, just the internet never ceases to amaze.
The internet's fun. Well, so that was that. Congrats to Will on the win. Roman for second and Colton for third. Good job, guys. And then we had honorable mention. Where is it going to go to the cup race? But let's just throw out an honorable mention to the Xfinity race driver of the race, in my opinion, which was Xfinity debut IndyCar star Sage Karam in the number 31,
yeah,
who qualified 18th, having never driven a stock car before, had like 13 laps of practice, was 10th by the end of the first lap, was 5th by the end of the first stage, and was just learning on the fly, doing an absolutely incredible job. He had a pit lane speed penalty right before the last restart. He should have restarted 8th. and it was a bit suspect, apparently. And then he got fired off by like Justin Allgaier or something. So I don't know. It wasn't the result he wanted, but he did an incredible job. He did just awesome, all things considered. And I think we're going to see him in an Xfinity car a few more times this year, which is great. So Sage, well done, buddy. And speaking of well done buddies, AJ Allmendinger, what's good? No, just me. I'm the only AJ
just
fan
you,
here.
Apparently.
Okay, well, AJ, congrats.
Alex,
on the cup
Alex
win.
Is busy, you know, finding out why people are mad at him on the internet, and I don't watch NASCAR. All right.
I also did not watch the NASCAR.
Yeah,
well, so I have no idea.
We'll just leave it at that. AJ Allmendinger, he's full time in Xfinity this year, part time in Cup with a new team. His Xfinity team is running the Cup car, Colleg Racing, and they managed to pull off the W. And I was awesome. I was super happy for him and celebrated in style with a whole lot of donuts on the front straight, which will be there for a while now. Fellow Sirius XMer podcasting host person, my brother on the NBC stuff, and just all around good guy. So,
all right.
I mean, it's a big deal. He's been in Cup for a long time. Always been one of those guys that has never really had the best equipment, right? It's kind of always been on the smaller programs. He's kind of had a breakthrough year in Xfinity this year, challenging for the championship in a lot of respects against, you know, Austin Cindric and Team Penske. So for him to get a cup win is pretty amazing. It's a huge accomplishment. To do it at a place that he loves so much must be very, very special for him.
Yeah, for sure. He's led laps at the Indy 500, and now he's won a race on the road course in a cup car. It's pretty neat. It's pretty neat. So happy for Ajay. And I mean, there was no F1 this weekend. And
well,
yeah, I mean,
there was a bit of stuff to talk about on the Cup side. Can we get into any of that?
What, you mean like the curb?
Yeah.
I didn't watch the race, so I have really
so
no
I saw the fallout online. So my, like, I don't know. I saw Denny Hamlin tweeted blaming the track because the Cup guys hit the curb and it tore up the curb and there was a big wreck. And my initial response whenever I see anybody saying anything negative about Indianapolis is to get very defensive about IMS. But I don't know. I don't really understand racing at the level you guys do. So James, you're the only one that watched it. What's your takeaway on it?
So and there's some details I don't know. Like, I've heard that curb in question was there last year when the Xfinity cars ran the road course with us, and it wasn't really an issue. So there was no reason to think that it would be an issue this year. I don't have confirmation of that. That was just something that I heard at some point. It caused a big issue at the start of the Xfinity race. A couple of guys hit that curb and like launched into the air and wrecked their cars or whatever. So I'm not sure, but ultimately, like, it's for Cup, it's first time event, and every first time event's going to have hiccups of one kind or another. So, I mean, you could blame the track if you want, I guess, but that's not to say that the track's not fully capable of making it better and improving on it. And I doubt this will ever be an issue or spoken about again. So, you know, it is what it is. It was still a great race. Yeah, some things caught some people out. It's the nature of the beast. So I have full belief in all the people on the IMS team, Doug Bowles and all his group. And, I thought the fact that they got it sorted and still managed to have a good finish.
How amazing was that picture of Doug out there in his
awesome
button down and trousers,
yeah,
working on the track. I mean, that's
sweeping
such a Doug
stuff and such a Doug move. And that's why the guy is such a legend and, you know, hopefully is at the helm of that place for a long, long time. Cause he good. He real good.
He's the best, I would have to say.
It's funny. Like, I didn't watch the race, but just seeing those guys talk crap back and forth on Twitter, like Denny Hamlin called out Chase Briscoe on something and like just kind of seeing him go back and forth. Like, I fully got into it. I was like, yeah, man, Denny can go to hell. Like, what's this all about? And it's just like, all right, I get it now. I get why they play it up like professional wrestling.
Rivalries are good for sports.
I started I have not watched a single NASCAR race in probably 5 years, and I just want to see Denny not win now.
So I actually feel like Denny was
actually
victimized.
Denny was kind of in the right on that one. Yeah.
Honestly, I wouldn't know. I don't even know what the conflict was about, but Chase's tweet popped up first on my timeline, so I'm on Chase's side now. I don't know anything about it.
That's good to know. That's how you do your research on important topics. Is this also how you vote?
Obviously, yes.
Is this how you choose your child's place of education? Just the first one that pops
up
in the yellow
pages.
First
one that popped up on the Insta feed. I mean, it's why I'm fans of you guys.
Yeah, it's fair. It's certainly how he goes clothes shopping.
Look, I'm not saying that like I'm gonna actually root for these people or anything like that, but just something in the reptile part of the brain that saw that, and I just wanted to like take sides in a conflict.
That's fair.
It worked for me.
What is the reptile part of the
brain? They talk about the reptilian part of the brain from evolution as being the part that has like the base aggression. Like the part that immediately reacts. I don't know, science people. Same. Yeah.
Fake news.
Mm. You have not heard the phrase reptilian brain when people talk about aggression before?
No. Can we talk about how we were comparing you to a nun earlier?
Mostly because you wear the same clothes.
You have the same outfit. Yeah, you're pretty abstinent at the moment.
I mean, I'm not wearing the same thing right now. I'm wearing a bathrobe right now.
That's why.
Yeah, well, I feel like they're allowed to sleep in other things, but when you get dressed, you have a uniform.
That's true. That's true.
He has been mixing it up lately.
That's true. I have seen different shirts, the odd different pair of pants that aren't just like khakis.
I treated the pandemic like my like cocoon phase.
Oh, and now you've come out a beautiful butterfly.
I'm a beautiful butterfly now, James.
That's
act accordingly.
Okay. So try to put you in a net?
Sure, if that's what you're into.
catch you in a net.
I feel like we can come up with a good video here. All right. Well, there's another race coming up. Should we talk about that, or do we want to keep talking about me as a nun butterfly?
No, I want to talk about
a nunterfly, if you will.
A nutterfly? You're a nutterfly. Flutterby. I want to talk about minivans. And
okay.
So I
pro or against?
Well, fundamentally pro. I think minivans are an incredible invention. But that's not specifically what I want to talk about. I don't have a minivan. I wish I had a minivan. I wish I had a Honda Odyssey, but I don't.
That would be a power move to get a minivan without kids.
Man, I am totally for it. I would do it.
I mean, Becky would sit in the back because you'd have the little DVD player back there. And
yeah.
You should get one.
And then, or you take out the middle seats and the dogs just have like this entire massive area to chill during road trips up to Toronto and stuff.
Alex knows a guy at Honda if you need some help.
Well, I mean, I've done this. I borrowed the shop vans to do that drive.
That,
and
I might
it's
now
the best.
Get a minivan.
Oh, dude, it's the best. You take out the middle seats and you just throw your luggage and stuff in the back and put some dog beds down, and they have like they're an entire play area for the whole drive.
I love the inevitable thing that's going to happen in 2 weeks now. You guys are
Alex and I were both gonna have.
Yeah, you guys are both like you're kidless race car drivers. You're like theoretically some of the coolest people on the planet. Like it's like rock stars, astronauts, race car drivers are the three things that everybody thinks are awesome.
You can have any car you want.
Yeah.
Cars are either,
yeah. You're going to, I love it. Cause it's going to be great.
Building one right now,
dude. You'll love it. There's a built-in vacuum cleaner.
Oh, I know that.
So that
I've thought about getting it before. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. OCD Alex can clean that thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, it's going to be great. Especially for what you said, the road trips and the dogs. Yeah.
It's great. The turning radius, not the best, but I get it. It's, you know, whatever. It's a land yacht.
The towing capability is probably not enough.
Probably not
good for your boat. Yeah.
Probably not boat level.
Right.
Anyway, I've, you know, in my youth, you hang out with your friend, you go to a friend's house or whatever, or friend's parents come pick you up or drop you off or whatever. I had a few friends that had minivans, and now you've got friends that have kids, and so they've got minivans, and minivans just have a smell.
I know exactly what you mean.
Right. Once a minivan is a certain age, it loses the new car smell, and it just becomes minivan smell. And it's like a combination of like sweat and stale food and Cheerios still under the seat. And, you know, like just things, just stuff. It's all life. All life is just living in the van, and it just has a certain smell. Not unlike my house, Alex, but
sure.
But my house, I think, smells a little better than minivans. But minivans have. And so the other day I borrowed a van from the shop that had just come back from a road trip to a test, and I got in it, and it smelled like a minivan. And there's no kids in this minivan. These are all adults that have been in this minivan. And this minivan still smelled the exact same as a minivan that was the home to three children. And it's just inherently minivan. They just absorb life and bits of things and food and whatever. And they have a smell. They just have a smell.
So I'm terrified of that happening with my car. So every time, like if we go camping, if we do a long road trip and there's stuff, I always get my car like fully detailed inside just to like try and stave off that smell.
Yeah, I get it. It's because once it's there, man, and there's always it's like crumbs, in the, crumbs in the cup holder. You know, that's how you know you're halfway there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I am
my minivan.
I'm awesome. Super excited for the matching off-track wagons.
It's dude, we could have a live show. We could can back you, our minivans right. up to each other, open the can sliding doors.
Can you please? And I think the internet will agree with me on this. Can you please get flames on the side?
No, I don't want to draw attention to it. That's not a very minivan move. No.
Okay. I'm devastated.
Alex is probably going to put like a crazy speaker system in his though.
Oh, it's going to be, no. I can't wait. I'm going to basically live in this minivan.
I'm just going to take it and get it tuned.
It's gonna be full. It's gonna be tinted out.
Lower. Dude,
do you remember in like Gran Turismo 1 or 2 or something? They had that Renault Espace minivan that had the Formula One V10 engine in it.
Yeah, I do.
I love that thing. That
I
was
just
want to
see
awesome.
You guys race these. I want to see. Like, let's talk with Doug. Let's find a day when the track's open. Make a good Honda commercial.
Love it. Love everything about
TK
it.
TK can join us.
Love it.
Yeah, but all he's right. got that. He's got that. I think he went the Chrysler route.
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So Gateway this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bomarito Automotive 500 at Gateway. Always a great event.
One day event.
It's going
to be sweaty.
Yeah. It's going to be hot. It's going to be a lot of time in a race car in one day. Practice qualify race all in the same day.
Fortunately, qualifying's only 35 seconds.
That is true. Unfortunately, it's done in reverse championship order for yours truly. But hey, what are you gonna do? And yeah, I mean, look, it's always one of the greatest events of the year. Like those guys do such a good job promoting that race, and the stands are always full. There are usually too many fireworks because they end up spewing bits and pieces onto the racetrack before the start. Were you there for that year? I think you were there for that.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
I feel like IndyCar has figured it out when they just go to party cities like Nashville and St. Louis and things like that, where it's just going to be.
Yeah. I mean, but it's the promoters too, right? Like you got to give Curtis Francois and the team there and the same thing with Borchetta and the group in Nashville. They, you have to know how to do it. And those guys they've really put in the time, the energy, the money and everything you need to do to make the events good. And they're great to watch. So, I look forward to going there and seeing the stands full. Cause again, there were no fans there last year with the doubleheader, if I recall correctly. I'm trying to remember now.
Right. There were fans.
Were there? Must've been very limited capacity.
It was limited. I know because I was up close and personal with them when I got taken out at the
start. Yeah, you were at the start finish line looking at them all. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
It's really going to undercut the impact of your angry leaving a racetrack when you're hopping in a minivan. Just like kind of storming. I think storming away from the bus and then like hitting the door, the button for the automatic door in the back so the dogs can get it. I just think it's going to undercut it.
No.
I'm excited for it, but.
There's a lot. I'm probably 50-50 on that'll be my car that I request because I'm in that cycle where I'm ready for the new one next year. It's interesting. I was looking at a Type R, but now I might go minivan.
Really? So wow, really mixing it up.
Bit of a swing there. Bit of a, yeah.
I think you will. I think you'll enjoy it. I think it's the right move.
Are you going to let him? Did you just drop all this as like so that Alex will experiment with it so you can see if it's the right decision?
Oh, I know it's the right decision. I don't need to experiment.
So when does yours get in?
I just need to convince Becky it's the right move.
Because it'll be her car.
Because I mean, she'll probably be driving it also a lot. So.
You could just buy another car.
Yeah,
just have that be the dog mobile.
That's true. Just have that be the road trip wagon. The shuttle. Oh my god, I'm getting it white and I'm gonna write Enterprise on the side.
Oh,
or you go the other way,
like a space shuttle.
Just go full Dumb and Dumber on it and make it into.
It is mainly for the dogs. It is for the dogs. It's true. And just think, like, if you take them to like Eagle Creek and then they're all muddy, you can just throw them in the back. It doesn't matter.
And that's how you get minivan smell.
100%. That's because they get that smell because they're so versatile and good for so many parts of life.
It's just great. I'm fully here for this plan.
Well, guys, I am fully here to say goodbye because my time is up and we've done our 45 minutes. So for those of you that have listened, thanks.
Alex didn't even want to do 4 to 5 minutes today. So the fact we got 45 minutes out of him is great.
Yeah. But this is not going to help your Insta DMs about being in a bad mood.
I'm not in a bad mood. I'm in a lot of pain. I am sore, guys. I'm getting old. I'm almost 30. Life hits you fast and my back hurts.
Once you pass 30, most injuries are sleep related.
You say that. You do say that.
I'm groans when gets up from the couch years old.
You think you could be an Olympian
curler? Yes, correct. Curler. Still do. We got to figure out when we're going to do that stuff. Yeah.
Oh, we're going to do it. Once the season's over, we got a bit more time. We're going to go and curling. And that's going to be curling season too. So.
Thanks so much for listening to Off Track with Hinch and Rossi. Keep in contact with us on Twitter and Instagram. Our handle is @AskOffTrack. Or you can follow us individually. We're @Hinchtown and @AlexanderRossi. If you want to follow Thim, though we have no idea why you would, he's @TheTimDurham. We really need to get that changed to @ProducerThim. The music you heard today is by Ryan Dan of Holland Patton Public Library. Off Track with Hinch and Rossi is produced by Tim Durham. And by that I mean Thim.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.